Hello, VR Talk. This is Linus. Haven't been on here for a while. Sorry about the noisy surrounding. I'm just leaving Waitrose Coffee, Cafe. The hardest thing to do is go to Waitrose Cafe, have only a coffee and no cake for dinner today. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I've just been talking about what's been going on my own audiobook timeline, as it were, and I've been talking about a Steps to Work program that I've started. Now, it's not directed at blind people in particular, but it's directed at everyone who is disabled in any way, visually impaired, hearing impaired, physical disability, learning disability, any medical problems, anyone like who has a disability, who has not been working for a while or has never worked. It is basically done by the National Star College, which I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's a obviously National College for the Disabled, which is actually in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire. I believe it is a bit like the new college or RNC for blind people, except it's for physically disabled students of all disabilities, as it were. I believe it's about as national for them as RNC or new college or other blind colleges are for us. Anyway, and there are some blind people even in Star College. Anyway, apologise for the wind, by the way. I will be out of this soon. And I will. I'll be home soon. Anyway, that's what it is done by. And they are working in cooperation with EDF. EDF, I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm sure some of you have, anyway. Gosh, I apologise for that wind. EDF is a French energy company, electricity company. Would you say it? Base is based in Barnwood, which is in Gloucester. Easy enough for me to get to. I believe it's got about 12,000 people working for it in England and 12,000 contractors. So it's quite a big company, which that's, I guess, why they are able to take on people like us. And you've got to probably ask, well, how did you get there? I mean, last time I heard from you, you were talking about counselling and the likes. Yeah, well, I will go into this briefly, but I guess it's not what I am mainly going to talk about. My support worker, who is, it's a company called QCare that she works for, and she heard about it. And she called me and asked if I would be interested. And yes, I thought, well, I really wanted to do counselling, but then I thought, really, I have literally no work experience. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? And I said, yes, I would be interested. Basically, that's how it started, and it started with Let me explain how this works. It's basically like an internship. A part of it is an MVQ in customer services. So you have an educational part, and once we get into EDF and
speech on. Time remaining. 20 pause record.
Sorry, I thought I knocked something, but I haven't. You basically, once we're in EDF working, we have 1 hour per day. It basically is working Monday to Thursday, with Friday being the day off, and it's during term times. So you got half term off, which I wasn't really keen on, but that's just how their funding works. So, at the moment, when before half term, we were not based in EDF just yet. For the reason being that their security is really strict, and you kind of had to be vetted first. So a little bit like CRB, like a check on whether you have had any previous convictions. What if they only knew? No, I'm joking, actually. Honestly, I'm not. But yeah, you kind of have to go through a quite strict vetting process, which hasn't come back yet for most of our students. We did, however, start some inductions in EDF and have been working in the Gloucestershire Deaf Centre in other days where we didn't have to go to EDF. But I think after half term, we are going to be permanently based at EDF. Gosh, he's put his biscuits down there. I'm trying to open the door. Pardon me for that. So, we're going to be permanently based at EDF after half term. Hoping that the vetting process will be completed by then. For most of us, so we can assume our job roles. The job roles are a wide variety of admin roles, so mainly computer-based, and there's a job coach in that program, who basically helps you match your job role with your abilities, with your skills. Oops, okay. I'm have to let Dav do this one, actually. Okay, never mind. So, the job coach, as I was just saying, who's looking at your skills and abilities and who's looking at what the company, what the different departments need, and then, as good as she can, matches your skills with the requirements of, you know, the departments who want to take on students. So for me, obviously, being blind, I wouldn't necessarily want to work with paperwork, so I couldn't, sort papers in different folders. But I could certainly type up some things that are dictated, or I could write some letters, or certainly do email correspondence, or heck, I mean, I said that I can speak a bit of French, and I can certainly, you know, speak German, and I know that EDF works in Germany as well, so I said if there are any language skills that are needed, I'd be happy to even brush up on my French or something to maybe translate some correspondence or something like that. Certainly, I would dare do that from French to English. I don't think I could dare from English to French, but yeah. Either way, basically, that's what it would be for me. And obviously, there's different disabilities, but also they have different abilities. So, that's very, very good program. As I said, we didn't work in EDF just yet, so I will keep you posted. But what we did do is start on the MVQ stuff slightly. Once we assume our job roles, we'll be working from 10:30 or 10:15 to 2 o'clock or 2:30 with half an hour lunch, and then the last hour before we go home, we get into the classroom and do MVQ stuff. You're going to ask now, what's going to become of it afterwards? Good question. Well, actually, EDF said to the tutor and the job coach that if we are doing our best, even if there's things that we can't do, if we try our best with the things we do, they will keep us on because they're such a big company that they're able to keep people on even if they're not, like, fully able to do the whole job, as long as they do most, like, some of the job and do their best, which obviously I intend to do, they will keep us on. Now, keep us on means 16 hours per week, so we can still keep our benefits and yet get work, get paid. Four out of the last seven students who did the course last year had been kept on. And the next question, of course, that I asked was, well, how do you know what I need as a blind person? You know, yes, wheelchairs have other needs, but at least you can give them a computer normally and you won't need any speech software or anything expensive to, you know, help them do their job. Well, actually, that's very simplified because everyone needs some adaptation, whether you are a wheelchair user or a blind person or whatever. But the good news for me was that last year there was already a blind person doing the course, so they already have experience with Supernova, which I haven't got much experience with, but they will train me. And they also obviously have experience with a blind person, such as they got Sensory Services in Gloucestershire, which is a company who does mobility training and daily living skill training. They brought one lady out to train the blind lady in finding her way around the vast offices of EDF. I mean, if you imagine corridor after corridor after corridor after corridor, open plan offices, I mean, you get lost even if you're not blind. I mean, I kid you not. It all, for me, looks the same. It's just a vast corridor with work areas on the left and the right. I was actually saying to the job coach and a lady who worked there, I said, how on earth does a blind person cope? But apparently they put bump-ons on the pillars because there's pillars at the working area. So they put bump-ons at the work area that the lady works in. And I'm like, yeah, actually, that could work. So, again, I am ever so grateful for the fact that somebody actually was a trailblazer, and I am not the first one to the first blind person to do this course, because I think I would be a lot more anxious, and I suppose they would be a lot more anxious about everything. But then they didn't have anyone last year who had a wheelchair. Now we have two this year who has a chair, and one who actually has an assistance dog, not like a guide dog, but an assistance dog, literally doing, like, a lot for her. And that, for them, is new. The blindness, not so much, which kind of comforts me. I'm hoping my friends in the wheelchair get on with things and they can get the help they need. But I'm kind of glad that I'm not the first one. What does it give me? Well, again, a paid job at the end, hopefully. Obviously, looks good on the CV.
even if EDF could not for some reason keep me on, they may have contacts, or I may manage through the Star College to get something else. And the other bonus that is not work-related that it gives me is I found friends through it. One girl who did the course last year and two girls who did it this year. And the two who are doing it this year, they're two wheelchair, well, one wheelchair user and one sometimes wheelchair user. And I'm even meeting with them in half term. And I feel very much included, because when I went to a mainstream college, while it was brilliant academically, I think my disability, as well as the age, I suppose, because I was like 10 years older than they were, kept me from having friends. Now, basically, I have, you know, because they have disabilities as well, they include me, and they take me as I am, and the funny thing is, we learn from each other. We did a little field trip, as it were, 2 weeks ago. We went to the Reach and Arcade in Cheltenham to do like a bit of customer service work and kind of walking into different shops and observing the staff. How friendly are they? How knowledgeable? How welcome do they make you feel? And obviously, I learned the obvious customer service things, but I've also learned. Oh my goodness, how does a wheelchair user with an assistance dog get into narrow shops? How does she get on a bus? How does she read and reach things? It's just beyond me how she can cope. And then she watches me type my PIN in and follow them, and she goes, how do you cope? And it is so funny, because you live in your own little world and then you meet other people with other disabilities and you go, how did you cope? How can you not get changed and yet a dog does it for you? It's mind-boggling. And yet, they get on with their life, you get on with your life, and you think, well, that's just the way I cope. But other people do their life and you think, wow, I admire them. And you just, it enlarges your horizon. It kind of just broadens your horizon, not just work-related, but also, like I said, socially. You assume, like, you know, I asked the lady, do you still wear shoes? Because I have no idea, because I can't see how they cope. And I've never had friends in a wheelchair before. So for me, that's a completely new experience. So I can only recommend, please, again, feel free to ask questions and to comment on this, because I wanted to give this experience, because I want people to know that there are things out there. So many people are actually nervous about trying to find a job because, and they're right too, because so many employers go, oh my goodness, braille display, speech, you know, screen reader, no, too expensive. But there are like big companies like EDF who are happy to try it out, and there might even be some Steps to Work program. Now, obviously, again, I'm fortunate to have the National Star College who does that, but if you just only look hard enough, I believe there are things out there. And I find it really encouraging that there are people out there who are doing their best to try to include disabled people and help them to get work. So please feel free to ask me any questions, and I will try and keep this. I'm going to make it in a series. Obviously, you won't hear anything from me next week because I'll be on half term, but I would certainly be happy to keep you updated on the job role, what I'm actually going to be doing, the MVQ stuff, and obviously I'm not allowed to talk about anything EDF related because the security is incredibly strong, so I'm not going to talk about any details, but I will certainly kind of briefly talk about what I'm doing. Again, security in EDF is super, super strict, so I need to be very wary of the questions that I'm going to answer and how I'm going to answer them. I don't want to tell any important information that I shouldn't be telling. And I'm very much aware of it. so don't ask me anything about the job directly. Hey, what are you typing up or something like that? You know what I mean? That would get me into trouble if I don't think and respond to that one. In fact, the whole induction things that we did was all about safety messages, addressing unsafe behaviours. I think they learned a lot from, like, obviously they've got nuclear power stations. Now, Barnwood offices hasn't obviously got power station, but they figured if they get the safety stuff into every staff member, whether they work at a power station or at an office, then they can keep the safety, you know, not just to like a department that cares for safety, but like every staff member is, it's being drummed into them to be safe, don't do this, don't do that. Our whole induction thing was about safety, 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 which is a good thing, because obviously you know that Chernobyl, the Chernobyl accident in 86, what you don't know is that my family believe that my blindness could have been caused by that. So I was not really expecting to work for a for a company who owns power stations, and I had to do a bit of forgiving there. Like, no, that I don't want to do that. But I had to kind of move on and say, well, hey, I was born this way. Rubbish. But just because someone did a blooper at 86, I can't not forgive those people and kind of hold a grudge against nuclear electricity and just the safety that they're, you know, like, drumming into you. I think they've learned a lot from that, so I think you got to give them a chance. And certainly, because they're doing their best to include disabled people, you know, you do have to honour them for that. But yeah, I will happily, what I was trying to say before I got off on the tangent, apologies for that, I'd be happy to talk about the type of things I'm doing and how I'm getting on, in the vast corridors of offices, etc., etc. Again, I'm not going to disclose any sensitive information, but I'd certainly tell you what I'm doing and how I'm doing. I think one of the biggest challenges for me was, so far, buying clothes. If you remember, in the summer, I was talking about my journey of losing weight and of doing the gastric bypass, having the gastric bypass, etc., etc. What I didn't have until just like a week before the internship started was smart clothes in a size that would fit me. So I had to spend quite a bit of money, which really I don't have, on a smart trouser suit and two pairs of shoes so I can alternate. So not that I would mind buying shoes, but I do mind buying stuff that I really can't afford. But again, I know it's worth it because you want to look your best, you want to look presentable. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know. I thought I'd share this with you, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. And I'll be happy to answer to the best of my ability. And I hope to hear from you, and I'll talk to you soon.